In the Garden on KFSK is brought to you by The Flower Farm, thanking the community for a great cut flower season and offering compost, steer manure, and chicken manure for fall mulching. The Flower Farm, open every day except Wednesday, 10 to 5, 6 Rory's Road, Papke's Landing.
Ain't nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you ripe when you don't get a heart.
In the Garden on KFSK is brought to you by The Flower Farm, thanking the community for a great cut flower season and offering compost, steer manure, and chicken manure for fall mulching. The Flower Farm, open every day except Wednesday, 10 to 5, 6 Rory's Road, Papke's Landing.
Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to In the Garden. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. And today, Ed Byarski is taking the day off because he's out hunting, but I have a special treat for you. About a month ago, when I visited Ed and was a guest judge for the Harvest Fair there in Juneau, the Community Harvest Fair, I was able to tour Ed's garden, taste his apples from his orchard there, and fresh tomatoes from his greenhouse and cucumbers, and we had a nice talk and walk through the garden, and today I'm going to share that with you. So coming up here on In the Garden, it's a tour of Ed Byarski's garden. I hope you enjoy it. Here we are at Ed's house, and we're looking at his garden, and he has got so many astilbe and different plants. It's unbelievable here, and everything you can think of, I'm looking around, and it's a beautiful wooded area. So tell us a little bit about it, Ed.
Well, we're on 2.5 acres on Andrianoff Drive. We were very fortunate to find this place, and we are behind us is Forest Service property all the way to Canada, which is, 30 miles away maybe, as a crow flies, or as a raven flies. And we do have the critters wander through because we're next to the wilderness, the porcupines and the bears and the deer. And I actually had saw a grouse in the backyard just a couple weeks ago, some young ones with their mother clucking along. We have ducks. We've got a couple of small ponds here, so we have ducks land here and have had a family of wild mallards on occasion. So it is a great spot, kind of an opening, a clear cut, and so, which keeps down the high winds that we could get coming down Lynn Canal. So it is a nice spot that warms up pretty well when we do have when we do have sun, like this summer.
It's very peaceful out here.
It is quite nice. We're well away from the main traffic area. We're almost a quarter mile off the highway. And so we put in lots of interesting stuff. A few perennials and things were here when we moved in, along with some delphiniums, and we've added a lot to them.
Let's look around.
Tasting the gooseberries that are ripening nicely. Thank Mona Christian for these from Petersburg. She brought them back from cuttings from Gustavus years back, and put them in the ground, and they grow, and we've propagated them, and they're a terrific gooseberry.
Yeah, they're gorgeous.
We're making
beautiful
pies later this afternoon, so I don't know if we've got quite enough for a nice gooseberry pie, but these are kind of a reddish purple as they ripen, and much better flavor than the old-fashioned green ones. So, highly recommended.
Yeah, these gooseberries are about, what'd you say, a half an inch round in diameter?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Nice size.
They are. And again, you can see some of the remains where the currant worm chewed on some of them earlier in the summer. We talked about on the radio. So luckily they didn't completely take all the leaves off. And new leaves have sprouted since then also. Some apple trees here in our center circle and more just down along the driveway. We're just picking apples yesterday. So to remove the bear's temptations.
And what kind of apples are these?
We have some of them, Liveland Raspberry, Williams Pride, Lubst Queen, and actually two of those, the Liveland Raspberry and Lubst Queen, are old Russian varieties. My neighbor's got a Yellow Transparent, another old Russian variety. that we're going to be picking later today for the same reason, and, well, two reasons.
Making pies.
Making pies and removing beer temptations. And then we've got a few others. Discovery is a really good one. Pristine is another really good apple. So some of our favorites down here as we walk down. A couple of pie cherry trees also in the edge of the orchard that the porcupines, if you look up there, you can see where they've chewed off branches and leaves.
Yeah.
Let's see who...
We're walking down Ed's lane, and on the left, he has several different plants. He's got a raised bed and a couple raised beds with carrots and other things planted in them. And over to the right, he's got lots of bushes and some, is that monk's hood or delphinium?
We've got a hedge of delphinium here, and then there's patches of monk's hood down in other spots around us, and we'll be... Well, I think we talked about even saving seeds from some of those delphiniums. I want to start more of them. The raised boxes you mentioned, it was carrots and lettuce. And the next one beside it is actually full of mostly primroses and blue and white mechanopsis, blue poppies, for sale next spring and future years. So all of these in that box were started indoors initially and then transplanted out, and they have grown so incredibly well that a couple of them are even blooming, the little Primula cockburniana, bright, deep orange. Not the normal time of year, but we're getting some rebloom because of the great summer we've had. And then some of the other beds behind that are covered with black plastic already was where there was garlic that's already been harvested. So that's covered up, so keep the weeds down, and I'll be mixing in some fertilizer and compost into those and getting ready for planting on those. And the big clump of strange-looking shrubbery is Chinese tree peony, which is actually a shrubby bush, and it's 6 feet tall, and in the summertime has yellow to orange to red to purplish small flowers, 2 to 3 inches across, with the most cool seed pods on it. Let's take a look.
Okay. So we're walking along here, and we're going to check this one out. Yeah, I have not seen
that
this plant.
That one, yeah, that's a blue one.
Yeah.
That'll be blue.
I want to get on your blue poppy list.
Okay, sure. Well, I'll send you home with some seeds at least, but look at the cool seeds inside.
Wow.
These are large pods. These pods are 2.5 inches long. 4 to 5 pods on a cluster from the tree peonies. Beautiful bright red now. They will gradually, the seeds will turn blue, and then eventually they will be black when they're fully ripe, and the seed pods open up and drop down underneath them. So sometimes I get seedlings and I plant them. But from seeds, it takes about 5 or 6 years to get the plant to flower. So again, later in the fall, I can send you a bunch of seeds and you can share them out. It takes about 2 years to germinate, too.
Hmm.
So you put them in the ground the first spring, they would send out a root, and then the second year, they send up 1 or 2 leaves. So it's a thing, you got to be patient.
So I can plant these maybe in about 10 inches of soil or more? Do I have to get more?
Oh, as far as soil depth that you have? Yeah. Yeah, that would be fine. Good drainage. They were growing when we saw them back in 2000 in China. They were growing in the mountains, in well-drained areas, gravelly to rocky, but these are growing. This is underneath us is basically muskeg, mm-hmm. to which I've added sand and mm-hmm. seaweed and mm-hmm. horse manure and stuff. So again, the drainage, and we drained down, we've got a little creek down here. So the drainage has been good, and obviously they are thriving. They've been here now, I've had them about 15 or 16 years, so it's a big cluster, and kind of hack them back every year and dig out a few now and then and start some more from seed.
Yeah, it really looks like it loves this spot. It's super healthy.
It does. And the nice thing, they're disease resistant. Unlike regular peonies, they don't get botrytis, that, you know, where you see the leaves get fungus and turn brown to black and curl up. And they do have pretty good fall color, usually yellow-orange fall color. So, yeah, give you some seeds, and you can try some in Petersburg, and maybe you'll get a new thing.
That would be
And neat. Probably deer resistant. That's the most I'll stake my life on, is probably.
Okay. What else we have down here?
A garden, which is kind of overcome by the weeds. Yes, this is a contorted filbert, yeah, with the real twisty branches. Doesn't give us nuts, but it's an ornamental. Up in the center circle up here, there's actually a red-leafed one, too. And then we've got this twisty or contorted larch, which is quite an interesting tree. I thought it was going to be a small tree, and now it's about 25 feet tall, so it's reaching for the sky. Got lots of different Japanese maples and other different kinds of maples in here. There's some purple beech down the trail, and an assortment of rhododendrons along the way here, and Japanese katsura, well, Japanese-Chinese, mm-hmm. both. Also, that has nice, will have really nice fall color. So, again, a month from now, this is going to be spectacular as the different maples turn color and the beeches. The larch is a deciduous conifer, so the needles on that will turn kind of a golden yellow before they fall off. So we're just trying to get more color around Juneau, color in Southeast Alaska.
This is exactly really. What we're trying to do in our backyard is something similar to this with our pond and our little stream, but it's just giving me some great ideas of how well these trees work together.
When we moved here, this area that we're standing in between us and the neighbors was timber. There were big spruce trees and hemlocks in here, but after fall storms dropped trees on both of my neighbors' houses, and luckily the tree behind our house fell away from the house mm-hmm. instead of toward the house. We hired a local tree faller and with his excavator and other stuff to remove those, and he turned up the muskeg, opened up, kind of contoured the little drainage. And then we've put in bridges and other assorted improvements. My neighbor has lawn, which I'm sort of allergic to. So we don't have any of that on my side of the line.
Okay. Well, we don't either. We like gravel and plants. Yeah.
Let's see, where's your daughter? She needs some pizza. So the apple orchard is on primarily dwarfing, fairly small rootstocks. Unfortunately, not much available anymore. They're Mark rootstock, which worked pretty well back when they were still available. We grafted some varieties from the old experimental orchard, from the old botanical garden in Sitka. So if you come down here, there's a nice one for your daughter to pick.
Come here, Ev. Try
come
to pick this one.
Come on over, and this is... a nice, hopefully you like tart apples, but this is a good one. I don't know how many Alaska apples. Go ahead, grab it. It's yours.
She's never picked an Alaskan apple.
Well, here you go. Okay. These were planted in Sitka after the turn of the last century. So, early 1900s. Since we grafted it, then we have the same kind. Behind you here, behind you, Mindy, are some, a newer variety called Goodland. This is
bigger.
There you go. A little different. There. And you taste that one. That one was developed in Canada, out on the prairies, and that's for us. Some of that one is also a good one. The Liveland raspberries we're going to turn into pies.
What do you think? A little bit tart, but perfect for a pie, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Want to try that, Rodney? Perfect. So on both sides of me are trees. Apple trees that have apples.
Not so many this year as in past, mm-hmm. years, but again, because we had such a poor growing season last year, mm-hmm. much less carbohydrates were stored last summer, that is in 2012, so we didn't get very many apples this year. However, with all the sunshine we've had, we're hoping for a great crop next year of flowering, and if the weather is cooperative, sunny, warm, when the flowers are on the trees, and then hopefully the bees and the flies and the other critters will pollinate, and then we'll get more fruit.
Okay.
I need to find my boots.
Well, you can go scrounge for them. I think they're in the bottom of all of our stuff. That's why I'm not wearing mine.
We shouldn't get much wetter. Well, I don't know. If that's optional, I guess. That's a male kiwi there. No fruit on that one. In that pile of stuff. But here we have, we'll introduce you to Actinidia colomicta, Russian hardy kiwi with a slug climbing up behind also. And again, these are fruits are about, the biggest ones are a little over an inch long, half inch in diameter, but they're still very hard. It'll probably be 2 weeks or so before these are ripe, but they are smooth. So we just, when they do just slightly give way to squeezing, then we pick them and eat them.
Mm.
And these are another one that for fresh eating, you can dry them almost like raisins. They actually make a terrific pie. And I mean, this one is growing up well up into an alder tree that I have topped, so I can still get a ladder up there to pick usually. And then there's more, there's kind of a jungle of kiwis here. So the male and the female are kind of intermixed in there. And they get pollinated, and it's going to be a great crop this year. We're going to get gallons of kiwis.
I was going to ask you, I mean, this is a pretty viney.
It is a
vine. So it's growing up the tree. So it's a vine. So if you want to plant a kiwi, you need to have definitely a place for it to vine along. I mean, like a big trellis or
a heavy-duty trellis. Chain link fence works really well on something like that. You know, so if you want to screen something between you and the neighbors and have a good sturdy trellis, this would work. If you look at some of the growth on here, there's 5 feet of growth from my hand all the way out here to the end, and sometimes even more. Now these have been, again, I've had these now for 15, 16 years, so it is this tangled mass, especially if you look in underneath there.
Yeah.
But there are kiwis. There are lots of kiwis.
Those are amazing.
And then this too will have nice fall color. The leaves on these, some of the male tends to be more colorful. They'll have more if we work our way around. We'll see some more variegation on the leaves. We get pink and white on the green leaves also. So the males tend to be more colorful, and sometimes are planted exclusively as an ornamental, without females to give fruit. Here's some small ones in pots.
Really nice.
And yeah, so these I rooted last year. I just bent down some of the stems into the pots and put a rock on them, and then they set roots.
And they rooted.
Yes. So these are some more females,
nice.
And unfortunately they aren't labeled as far as which one is male and which one is female. But next year some of these should flower. Oh, you got a woolly bear caterpillar.
Evelyn ate one of those once when she was one. Before
these?
We knew.
Ooh.
Yeah, before
that's
we
not
knew
good.
It was in her mouth and she had chomped on it. And
oh my.
There was just remnants left.
Little fuzzies?
Just fuzzies on her lips.
Oh, they're supposed to be fairly irritating at best.
Yeah.
But they say that you can predict the winter by how wide or how narrow the band of black versus brown there is. And I forget which way it works. If it's wider band, is harder winter.
I have an orange caterpillar, an orange fluffy one like this, but it's way smaller.
Oh.
It's in a cocoon right now at my
house. Oh, okay. Have you seen the big black ones that from the hummingbird moths, hawk moths?
No, but I've seen the huge.
Oh, that must be one. That was one of the apples my dog was chewing at. Step into the greenhouse.
All right, here we are in Ed's greenhouse, and you wouldn't believe the tomatoes growing. Orange tomatoes, red tomatoes, small tomatoes, and I see some bigger tomatoes. Here we go. I'm going to eat this wonderful tomato. Yum.
Thank you.
Yesterday was my first taste of a Alaskan tomato from a greenhouse at the harvest fair, and now I'm going to try this one.
So these down here, well, let's see, the small ones down
there. Oh my.
Polar baby.
Mmm.
Okay.
Polar babies.
Wow. Okay, folks, you got to get a greenhouse going. Mmm. It is so sweet.
Where is she?
Oh, it is so.
Oh, I'll eat it then.
Earthy. Mmm.
So
Evelyn, try your tomato. It's so good.
Our sun gold, orange one.
Mmm.
work our way down a little farther.
How many plants do you have here, Ed, do you think?
Well, it's tight. Let's see. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14. It's about 15 per row. And there's kind of a double row, so I've got the tall ones and then short ones. So then these are Glacier. A little bit bigger yet. And this is one of my favorites, too.
Isn't that delicious?
So.
This is the Glacier.
You got some nice, yeah, there's some nice clusters of tomatoes in here.
Aren't they good?
Let's see. I'll give you one of the orange ones to try. These guys, the one problem with the Sun Gold is that they, when they get ripe, they start to crack. Try to taste that one. That one tastes different still.
Aren't they delicious?
You had some down there too, the Sun Gold?
Yes. So yeah, the Sun Gold are these big, tall ones. And if you look, like we were talking last week, I think, about topping these things. So I've taken the tops off them. And so the last cluster maybe or may or may not ripen. We'll see. It's really going to depend on what our weather turns out in September and into October.
Tomatoes
will hang on for quite a while.
There looks like there's about several hundred tomatoes in here.
Oh, yeah.
Easy. And that hopefully by chopping them off and the light that we still have left, and they're going to turn for you.
A bit of sun, right. We've got some bolting lettuce in here, which is kind of cool stuff. They'll have yellow flowers on them. I'll see if I can manage to save seed from them, but I've had problems with the flowers. They really easily mold. But they're cool-looking plants, kind of tall, like a red Christmas tree, sort of. And cucumbers, yes,
yeah.
There are cucumbers. Yeah,
wow.
We'll send you home with a cucumber.
Look at that! Wow, Rodney, check it out.
Yeah,
I know. Should have had one at the.
Yeah, I know you should have. I was just thinking to myself, why didn't you have a cucumber in the thing?
But again, here, if you take a look, here's a little bit of mildew starting, and with this, the cool, moist weather, they're here too. And one of the things that sometimes happens, if we get one of the little flowers that fall off, sets on a leaf, that's the start for mildew to get started. So I start pinching leaves off in the greenhouse to do cleanup. And then that also helps in the overall air circulation, too.
So you have about 14...
Yeah.
Cucumber plants, and each plant has about, you know,
3 to 5 or 6 cucumbers on each one, and they start off slow initially. It's mostly male flowers down at the bottom, and then finally we start getting females to come along, since they have separate male and female flowers, unlike the tomatoes that are self-fertile. So then I've got the doors open, so I've got the small flies and stuff will come and go through here and do the pollinating for me, because it's kind of tedious pollinating the small cucumbers by hand. Squash are much easier to hand pollinate. And they're reaching, you see they're up to the roof, so some of these are 7 feet tall already, the cucumbers are. Last year, I think I got 3 cucumbers total, and they, by this time of year, they were dead.
Yeah.
Because it was so cool and wet, and they just got all moldy. So we're in great shape.
Well, thanks for the cucumber. We've got the fresh bagels, we've got some cream cheese, and now we've got cucumber to put on it for our ride home.
Well, I'm gonna send you home with some tomatoes, more tomatoes.
It's a nice sized greenhouse, Ed.
Yeah, this is one I salvaged from a friend's place in exchange for some landscaping work that I did for him, plus some cash. So the greenhouse here, this is 16 by 30, nice size, about 12 feet high in the center. So we can get good air movement, which is really important. Well, here, let's taste. This is, actually you may have tasted one of these. This one should be Tumbler.
Wow. Delicious. This is a Tumbler tomato.
Yeah, look at the clusters of the little polar baby. And I may try to save seed from the polar baby and the Glacier. Just Glacier I have been saving seeds from, and with those you take the ripe tomatoes and get a jar mush up the ripe tomatoes in the jar and let them ferment to the point where there's mold on the surface of the rotten mush, tomato mush. And then you rinse them off and separate the seeds out and then just let them dry them out like on wax paper or on a plastic plate or something like that. And then save them, let them dry out, and then save them for future years.
So wait for the mold.
So yeah, the key thing is picking really nice ripe tomatoes. And like I said, mash them up in a jar, put it somewhere because it's not particularly fragrant. Well, it is really fragrant, but not one that you prefer. And set them aside until they ferment, and that's how they do it commercially. Even they do the same thing for cucumbers and squash too, for seed cleaning, for the really ripe fruits. And tomato seeds can last years and years and years. Okay. I've had some 10 to 15 year old tomato seeds that germinate.
I didn't know that. I always assumed that really they're not good after about a year or 2 years, so that's good to know.
Well, tomato seeds are incredibly tough. There's what sprouts out of, much I hate to say it, sewage after sewage is treated.
Uh-huh.
Runs through the sewage treatment plant and all. If they're taking the sludge and laying it out on beds or something to dry, tomatoes sprout. After going through all the processing of whatever.
They still withstand it all, huh?
They do. So we got zucchinis over here.
Yeah.
There's some gold rush zucchini and a green one. And again, if you look, you can see the moldy ends. Even though I keep snapping them off and I've been opening up, you know, you see where I've been removing leaves in here to open up.
There's Rodney's some, been doing that at our place
ones.
Too. And yeah, it's a challenge to...
It is. So I've got a couple nice ones in the house, and there's a couple nice ones here, and some of these other ones, sometimes I just got to pick them immediately after they're done. Here, I'm going to move, give you a little more room to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
Get butt pickers. There you go. Get the nice one and the moldy one.
Yeah.
Yep, see, there you go. Read that one quickly. See, it. They just pop when they're when they get ripe.
Yeah.
Ripe enough.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, so I always snap the blossoms off.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Yeah, because it always seems like the rot starts in the blossom.
Normally, this one just flowered yesterday, so I'll usually try to leave that for about another day if possible, and then snap them off and hope again that it's dry enough that the tips dry off.
Do you do anything with your blossoms?
I have dip them in a fritter batter or something like that and briefly fry them. They're tasty. Or you can... Down south, I've even seen where they sell them just, in fact, before they open, still on the bud for very large money. And again, for a very quick
stuff
sauteing,
them with a little
stir
goat
frying.
Cheese. And
sure.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Oh, there's a green one. There's one there.
Oh, yeah, that's a nice one.
Yeah, so that's a nice clean. Oh, see, the end of it's already starting. Getting funky. So let's take that one off, take it inside, and I'm going to dry some of these with some more Mexican spices on them and garlic powder. So make zucchini chips.
Mm-hmm. You put them in your dehydrator, or did you do it in the oven?
Yep, in a dehydrator.
Mm-hmm.
It's quick. I mean, because they're not that moist. So for these, depending on how thick you slice them, eighth of an inch thick, it's about six, 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So they go pretty fast. And there I see there's one plant that I think is the black cherry. But again, you look at that, that's the first one to ripen compared to the sun golds. So I won't grow those again. That's in a good year. Got lots of tomatoes on it, but...
Yeah, we want the ripe ones, huh?
Got to get them to ripen.
Okay, where are we going now?
Out and around, back across.
I might have to plant a kiwi once I get my porch rebuilt again. I was telling you that we have to have our porch.
Got to have a male and a female.
Two kiwis.
That's right. Or even one male will cheerfully pollinate multiple females. So the big cherry tree on your right here is a seedling cherry. Grew from something that we threw out from our compost. We've been here 20 years now. So that tree basically sprouted about the first or second year we were here. And it has small cherries. It's magnificent in bloom. It's a little earlier than the others to bloom. So our suspicion was it came from a sweet cherry, maybe like a Bing or something similar. Mm-hmm. And so it's a foot in diameter. And porcupines like that one too. I've had traps set in that one on occasion. But small cherries are, the birds go for this one. Clean them off, but they usually leave our other cherries alone. And then there's root suckers coming up all over the place here that I keep cutting off or offer to give away to people if they want them. And that even those root suckers could be used to graft good varieties onto, kind of like with apples.
Mm-hmm.
Behind you, again, then, is our raspberry patch, which has been really productive. We picked some gallons from it this year. This is the first really good year. Last year, the porcupines got in there and did some damage. Let's see, we've got a couple. Yeah, see, there.
Those are nice-looking raspberries.
Yeah, that one's bad.
Oops.
Cascade Delight is the variety here.
Wow. Do you sell some of your raspberry plants?
I will be.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Come spring, I will have more of these. I'm going to order some.
Wow.
Oh, that little bastard.
I should have gave that one to you, Rodney.
He's been here. No, I mean, look, he managed to climb up here.
Yeah?
See, last night I heard... Yeah. As the porcupines managed to climb this, that little... So, see, what I've got to do is... spring this back. I wonder if he got in. I think that helped. I was out walking the dog. We heard a reaction, but I couldn't find him. There you go.
So yep, I can see the porcupines really liking this area.
This is all Cascade Delight.
The upper strip is Cascade Delight. The next one over is just a variety that I got. Well, it came from where Safeway now sits. There were some houses there long ago that were bought, burned down by the fire department for practice, and then I got permission to go in and salvage those chairs, and they have been just wonderful. So likewise, another productive variety, but we don't know what kind. So, that little turkey.
Wonder if he's still in there.
Well, I'm looking. He is, so he'll be different. You could really get a live bit of excitement for the radio, couldn't you?
Yeah, Ed chasing down a porcupine.
Yeah, tried last night. I had my cell phone flashlight and my pitchfork when we were out. I was out walking the dog and heard it in the brush here, but could not catch up with it.
I love this little bed you have over here. Really nice.
With the rocks right here.
Yeah, yeah.
Mixed in more sand and musk eggs, so we've got blue poppies in there. And there's an assortment of primroses and weeds and other stuff coming up. And then there's some late gentians that will be blooming later, a deep blue color. And yes. Yep. So there's some neat stuff. There's some different kinds of saxifrages in here. Again, kind of rockery plants. I keep mixing more and more sand and gravel into the soil for better and better drainage. And again, same thing over here. It's a little older one. And here you can see some of the deep blue gentians in bloom,
just like
up on top.
Epimedium or?
Right, very good. Wow, I'm impressed. So yeah, again, in here there's some early gentians that are past blooming, these guys, and then the summer blooming gentians, along with some more on the other side of the creek. And then there's fall blooming gentians.
It's beautiful.
In here.
You have somebody come and bring in the rock for you, or did you situate
most
that yourself?
Of this rock was here, actually came from digging for the little stream bed and stuff. So this is the local rock underneath us that kind of broke up, the excavator broke up. Well, actually, when we did our water line too. So we salvaged the rock and put it in here. And
there's beautiful,
some little
dwarf
rhodies in here, and there's some dwarf columbines up there also, and dwarf iris. I really need to get out here and weed more. Everywhere. And volunteer kale growing, sprouting here and there, wherever it feels like it. Well, in fact, there's the kale pods, seed pods. Should be brought in to dry. So you see all the big seed pods.
Yep.
We kind of talked about saving those. So you
right.
Open up one of the seed pods.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got all the little black seeds.
We have a bunch of these for the school kids to open up when they get to school next week or the week after.
Oh, good deal. And then you plant some of them. That'd be another good experiment. Plant some now.
Mm-hmm.
Some will sprout soon, real quickly, and should overwinter as small plants, and then plant some more in the spring, or even plant, you know, start some early indoors, and then plant direct seed some outside, and then see which ones do the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the kale does so well around here. That's one that did overwinter. And there were some root maggots in there, chewing away on the roots, but there were enough roots to keep it alive. So I will dry that out, and we'll put the seeds in packets and sell them next weekend at our food festival.
Oh, you have a food festival, do you know?
Yes, downtown at the Jack. So local people will bring in some of their produce to sell of various sorts. Everything from carrots and cabbages, potatoes, kale, garlic. We have had fresh or flash frozen salmon and halibut, as well as smoked stuff. I'm planning to bring some herbs in also from some of our pots that are growing over here. And that's probably a good spot to stop for the moment.
Yeah.
Oh, more gentians?
Yeah.
This is a Japanese gentian here, where some of those others were European gentians, the blue.
I love those.
Yes.
Love them.
We have a couple of wild ones. If you ever get up in the mountains, we have a bottle gentian here that's similar, pretty much the same color, same shape of flower. They only open if you get a really sunny day. I mean, actually open up so the top petals open.
Aren't they beautiful?
And then, but our local ones they're about half that size. They'll get about 8 to 10 inches tall. Where these in Japan, I'm told, are a cut flower for arrangements and such.
It's beautiful. Beautiful blue. I love it. It's just a...
I know.
What color blue is this? This is more not a... It's not a peacock blue.
Well, and
it's
has
just
a
vibrant jewel tone blue.
It does, but it has a hint of purple in it, too.
Mm-hmm.
So again,
an indigo.
Yeah, so the different gentians, they're all shades of blues in the gentians. There's lots of different ones. And so I've tried and killed a fair number of them.
I bet they were gorgeous when all of the stilby here were blooming.
Yes, right. Their primroses start out in early. There's even earlier eastern wildflowers in here, hepaticas and trilliums in here to start back in April and then on through. So got different things blooming. And then the true tiger lilies are starting to bloom. So, which is a great thing this year. Here we are in late August. Last year, the tiger lilies were blooming in mid to late October.
I love that maple over there.
That is a golden full moon.
Mm.
Right there. So if you want to walk down, we can walk down and just look at the maple.
Yeah.
You have enough battery power?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
We're running close.
Okay.
Yeah, when it runs out, we run out.
Okay. So that one will turn yellow-orange in the fall. I like the... it's a nice contrast, actually, with this skunk cabbage and the devil's club here, too. And then there's Osaka, and it grabs us to remind us. Osaka Zuki, which is a brilliant red in the fall. And then overhead is a snake bark maple. Doesn't look much like a maple at all, but it is, and it has interesting sort of a striped bark on it. This one turns a yellow in the fall.
That is nice.
And down and around.
I like how you left the skunk cabbage in here.
Yeah. Well, I hack it back now and then. This is a paper bark maple.
Uh-huh. Salmon paper
bark. And just beautiful. Just gorgeous. And it'll turn orange, reddish orange in the fall later on. And we've got a couple more mono, I think. I'm not sure about that one anymore. And then some more of the different full moon maples here. One that turns red. We've got a green Japanese maple that will turn a bright orange. Watch for the slippery path. And Acer Triflorum, related to the paper bark maple. This one is a magnificent golden orange in the fall. Three leaves, three leaflets on it.
Beautiful hosta.
Yep, cute, nice blue hostas. And then Fernleaf Full Moon Maple, which turns a purple red in the fall. Got kind of nice little reddish seeds. Unfortunately, the little seeds never develop inside the seed pods.
Beautiful.
And then some different beeches, the purple beech or bronze beech up overhead. And then a weeping green beech and another purple beech. And still another gentian, different late summer to fall blooming gentian. Another one that makes a good cut flower.
Beautiful. What a nice path.
And then some weeping Alaska yellow cedars. And a little weeping purple beech. Kind of a neat little plant growing down over the edge. And then the Radgersia and some ornamental rhubarb down below it here. Kind of exotic looking stuff. The Radgersia is this big horse chestnut leaf. Saxifrage relative, strangely enough.
Really?
And that one would be worth a try, I think, to see if deer like it or not. I may send you home with a plant of that. But it will get big, so you got to have room for it.
And so you don't get a lot of deer back in here. That's so great.
Not too many deer. We don't, Juneau just doesn't, especially the mainland at least that we're on, does not have the deer population you do or that Douglas Island does. And again, even the hunting season reflects that. $2 on the mainland and it's 5 deer over across here on Douglas Island and some of the other islands.
Ain't nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you ripe when you don't get a heart.
Well, I hope you enjoyed today's tour of Ed Byarski's garden. I know we had a great time. You're welcome to look Ed up anytime you go to Juneau, and he'll give you a tour of his garden as well. Until next week, thanks for tuning in. It's Pledge Week next week. Ed Byarski will be on the air with us live. Talk about plants, gardens, and gardening, and of course, donating to KFSK.
Well, you can go out to eat, and that's for sure, but it's nothing the homegrown tomato won't cure.
In the Garden on KFSK is brought to you by The Flower Farm, thanking the community for a great cut flower season and offering compost, steer manure, and chicken manure for fall mulching. The Flower Farm, open every day except Wednesday, 10 to 5, 6 Rory's Road, Papke's Landing.